Gomer, Joe Bud, Mission Street. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from San Francisco's Powell Bart Stop. Today is Thursday, the 3rd of December 2015. On this date in 1901, in a State of the Union address, U.S. President Theodore Roosevelt asked Congress to curb the power of trusts within reasonable limits. 1910, modern neon lighting is first demonstrated at the Paris Motor Show. 1944, civil war breaks out in Athens, Greece. 1947, a streetcar named Desire opens on Broadway. 1962, in a great moment for lonely memo writers everywhere, Roger Hilsman, director of the State Department Bureau of Intelligence and Research, writes a memo that maintains that the Viet Cong are prepared for a long war and the South Vietnamese government is vulnerable to a coup. 1964, police arrest over 800 students at the University of California, Berkeley, following their takeover and sit-in at the administration building in protest of the UC Regents' decision to forbid protests on UC property. 1967, in Cape Town, South Africa, the first human heart transplant. 1976, an assassination attempt is made on Bob Marley. He's shot twice but plays a concert 2 days later. 1984, an explosion at the Union Carbide pesticide plant in Bhopal, India, leads to the worst industrial accident in history. At least 2,000 people died. Another 200,000 were injured when toxic gas enveloped the city due to negligence. They settled out of court. The site still isn't cleaned up. The company is now owned by Dow, the company that brought us napalm and Agent Orange. Their revenue was $53 billion last year, profits of $9.3 billion. Birthdays are Polish author Joseph Conrad, director of movie Jean-Luc Godard, English nutjob Ozzy Osbourne, and actress Daryl Hannah. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, this podcast was written by Ari Swiecka. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. The foreign ministers of NATO countries met in Brussels on the 1st and 2nd of December for a NATO ministerial meeting. They invited Montenegro to join NATO, the first time it's expanded since 2009. Foreign Minister Georgi Kvitakashvili was in Brussels to participate in a meeting of alliance members and partner nations contributing to the NATO-led Resolute Support mission in Afghanistan, held on the sideline of the NATO ministerial. In Brussels, Kvitakashvili held bilateral meetings with his counterparts from Turkey, Hungary, Romania, Slovakia, Iceland, Luxembourg, and Italy. The message from both Foreign Minister Kvitakashvili and Prime Minister Khadabashvili the day before the NATO meeting was that Georgia has everything that is needed to join NATO. They fulfilled all obligations, but now it's up to NATO to decide on Georgia's accession. Khadabashvili said that Georgia should avoid creating over expectations. Georgia's been pushing to get the membership action plan or a map at the next NATO summit in Warsaw in July 2016, or have NATO say that a map is not necessary, not a necessary step to membership. On the 2nd of December, yesterday, NATO foreign minister released a statement reaffirming their commitment to the open door policy, that NATO's door is open to all European democracies which are willing and able to assume the responsibilities and obligations of membership and whose inclusion can contribute to the security of the North Atlantic area. In the statement, NATO singled out Georgia's case and commitments of the 2008 Bucharest summit, in which they said Georgia will become a member of NATO with MAP as an integral part of the process. They reaffirmed all elements of that decision and that Georgia's relationship with the alliance contains all the practical tools to prepare for eventual membership. They made it clear that MAP will be necessary. In the statement, they welcome Georgia's significant progress. They recognize Georgia's efforts to strengthen democracy, including reforms in judicial and security services. NATO foreign ministers call on Georgia to continue making full use of all the existing instruments involving the NATO-Georgia Commission, the annual national program, Georgia's role as an enhanced opportunities partner, its participation in NATO's defense capacity building initiative, and the substantial NATO-Georgia package. Speaking at a news conference on the 2nd of December, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said that the decision to invite Montenegro shows to the three other NATO aspirant countries, Bosnia, Herzegovina, Georgia, and Macedonia, that the hard work of reform pays off. He also said that NATO will undertake new obligations with respect to Georgia. Very interesting story that is not really breaking news, but worth knowing about. It concerns Angolagate scandal from the early to mid-90s, in which French government is secretly selling weapons to the Angolan government to fight rebels in the civil war, despite an international embargo on selling weapons to Angola. In return, France reportedly got access to Angolan oil. A shady Russian businessman who had immigrated to Israel via France, Arkady Gaidamak, was involved in facilitating the arms sales by setting up private companies for Angola to pay Russia for debts, among other things, according to Georgian investigative journalist Vladimir Ivanidze, who writes for Novaya Gazeta. Gaidamak's main partner was the Rosyjsky Credit Bank, or Russian Credit, which was co-founded by Bidzina Ivanishvili, and that BI was an associate of Gaidamak, and that now that's how BI was trying to get French citizenship. The journalist, and because Gaidamak, by the way, has won the Legion of Honor and was a pretty made guy in France. The journalist says he has court documents showing that Russian Credit was the main bank helping the companies and parties sign all the agreements and contracts in the Angola Gate story. Later in 2000, Gaidamak became the chairman of the board of Russian Credit Bank. The journalist claims that BI came to live a quiet life in Georgia to ride out the scandal with Russian Credit and Gaidamak, possibly connected to Angola Gate, and possibly because Gaidamak was being charged in Israel for other crimes. The journalist continues that BI's Russian Credit held 10% of the shares of the group Tuchnost and continued to work in 2008 when there was the August war with Georgia, with Russian companies that produced small and medium-sized weapons and weapons for the Navy and Air Force of Russia, that their contracts went through Russian Credit. Will.i.am of the band, the musician, played at Gaidamak's daughter's wedding last year in Israel. This guy is not a poor guy. Nevertheless, last week he voluntarily showed up in France to serve a 3-year jail term. So, follow that story, Angolagate. Following up on last week's story, the EU Commission for European Neighborhood Policy and Enlargement Negotiations, Johannes Hahn, was in Tbilisi. Hahn said that Georgia has already made remarkable efforts at implementing the association agreement, but also noted the importance of respecting media freedom, opposition parties' access to free media, and reminded that the EU opposes any practices of selective and politically motivated justice, including the excessive use of pretrial detention. During his visit, the EU Commission said it's giving Georgia a new 100 million euro assistance package to support reforms related to the EU-Georgia Association Agreement and agreements on mobility. More specifically, the assistance package aims at helping Georgia in meeting its reform objectives in the sectors of public administration, agriculture, and rural development, and to promote an active civil society and to assist the country advance in visa liberalization process with the EU. Turkey and China, together with Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, and Georgia, have formed a syndicate to transport cargo from China to Europe, bypassing Russia. Representatives of large transport logistic operations from Turkey, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, Georgia, and Lithuania signed a deal cementing the multinational partnership in Istanbul last week on the 28th of November. They also looked into the prospects of the Trans-Caspian International Transport Route. In Georgia, it's the Trans-Caucasus Terminal LLC, a full subsidiary of the joint stock company Georgian Railways that is working with the international consortium and carrying out activities in Georgia for the project. According to Turkey's Soyvgan Group, Georgia will become one of the important links in the Trans-Caspian International Transport Route, as that route would allow cargo to travel from China to Europe in the shortest possible time. A Georgian economic delegation is in China. Economic Minister Dmitry Kumsishvili met with President of China Shipping Europe Holding, Liu Zhongping, which is a container shipping provider. They plan to expand their activities in Georgia because, as they said, trade between Georgia and Asian countries will become more intensive in the near future. There will be an economic commission session in China on the 9th to 10th of December to begin negotiations on establishing free trade between China and Georgia. The decision to begin talks on free trade was made during negotiations between Prime Minister Mirakli Garabashvili and his Chinese counterpart when they met in China in September this year. Other issues that will be discussed during the Georgian Economic Delegation China's trip is the Anaklia port. On the 1st of December, the deputy head of the State Security Service, Levan Izoria, said that four Georgian citizens were arrested on suspicion of having links with Daesh, or the Islamic State. The arrests were made a few days earlier on the 29th of November after the counter-terrorist unit carried out a search of 11 houses. This served as a sort of confirmation of earlier Georgian media reports. Rustaviotti had reported on the 29th of November that a 23-year-old man was arrested in a village in Ozurgeti Rayon of Guria over alleged links to Daesh. Some other Georgian media sources also reported the same day that three other men, two of them from the same village, were also arrested on suspicion of having links with Daesh. The deputy head of the State Security Service said that the counterterrorism unit had been carrying out an investigation under the clause of the criminal code dealing with participating in a mercenary or armed conflict. They got the court warrant to search the houses on the 18th of November. They found hand grenades, pistols, bullets, and cylinder-shaped explosive devices that were found in the houses. They also seized telecommunications devices, meaning phones, and Daesh flags. The relatives of the two arrested men in the village of Nasikirali in Guria told Rustaviotti that the firearms and Daesh flags were planted by the law enforcement officers during the search of the houses. As a note, at least two out of the four men who appeared on the Daesh Georgian language propaganda video that was released in late November were from the same Nasikirali village. Two of the men arrested on the 29th of November were relatives of those two men who appear on the propaganda video. The four men arrested on the 29th of November have been charged for the illegal possession of firearms and explosives, according to State Security Service. They are still ongoing investigations to substantiate that the arrested persons have links with Daesh and that they were providing assistance in terrorism activities. Tbilisi City Court ordered the pretrial detention of the four men in a hearing held behind closed doors on the 1st of December, and the prosecution has classified the case as secret. The defense lawyer said that their clients deny the charges and claim that the arms were planted by the law enforcement officers. In September, the National Agency for Environment set up 58 monitoring devices throughout the country to monitor air pollution levels, with 26 of the devices in Tbilisi. They've now completed the first phase. They said that overall air pollution in Georgia does not exceed the allowable emissions levels. The results also showed that the top pollutant was vehicle emissions. The agency said the second phase of monitoring will create a broader picture of overall pollution and identify every possible pollutant in all towns and cities of the country. As a note, when they announced the project, they said the information from the devices would be sent to labs in the UK for analysis. Former Chief Prosecutor Georgi Badashvili was assigned to head the Investigative Department of the Ministry of Finance. The Investigative Services is informally known as the Financial Police and is in charge of tackling financial and economic crimes as well as tax evasion. Badashvili worked in various positions in the Investigative Department from 2006 to 2013. 2014-15, he was Chief Prosecutor. On the 27th of November, was replaced by his deputy Irakli Shotadze, as we've reported, who was confirmed by Parliament under the new law for selecting the Chief Prosecutor. A little bit more on that under Parliamentary News. Following up on Defense Minister Kiniko Khedashely's foreign visits, she was in Brussels, where she addressed the European Parliament Security and Defense Subcommittee, also met with Foreign Minister of Turkey. She then went on to Berlin, where she met with her German counterpart on the 27th of November with Chancellor Angela Merkel's Foreign and Security Policy Advisor. She then went on the final leg of her trip to Baku. She met with Azerbaijani President Ilham Aliyev on the 2nd of December, as well as the Azerbaijani Defense Minister. They discussed security for the strategic oil and gas pipeline running from Azerbaijan to Turkey via Georgia. In 2 weeks, there will be a trilateral defense ministerial meeting of Azerbaijan, Georgia, and Turkey, which will be held in Istanbul. Foreign Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili was on an official visit to the UK to meet the British Minister of State for Trade and with representatives from UK business under a format known as the Wardrop Dialogue. And he met with the UK Secretary of State for Foreign Commonwealth Affairs. Economy Minister Dmitry Kumsishvili also visited Baku this week to meet his Azerbaijani counterpart. Prime Minister Ghadabashvili is attending the UN Climate Change Summit in Paris. Leading up to the Paris conference, countries were asked to publicly declare what actions they intended to take to prevent climate change in documents known as intended nationally determined contributions. Georgia's plans are to decrease emissions by 15 to 25% by 2030. Any listeners who knows how that compares to what everybody else is doing, we'd be interested to hear it. And if there are any specifics, what Georgia's responsibilities are considering how much potential hydropower there is and everything else. Japan's Mitsubishi Corporation is in Georgia this week to explore investment opportunities, particularly in the energy sector. They met with the head of the National Investment Agency. Gunshots were fired at a congregation hall used by Jehovah's Witnesses in Vazi Subani suburb of Tbilisi in the past 2 weeks. Twice in the past 2 weeks, no one was injured. Following up on previous stories, on the 3rd of December, the Tbilisi City Court announced a verdict sending former chief prosecutor Zura Adeshvili to pretrial detention in absentia for the alleged illegal seizure of property all the way back to 2004. Adeshvili has already been charged in absentia in Georgia for abuse of power with excessive use of violence, inhumane treatment, provoking a crime, and fabricating evidence. He's now in Ukraine. This is a case about the seizure of vineyards in Ajada. Former Interior Minister Ivana Medvedevashvili is also charged. Medvedevashvili is in prison already and is set to face trial in this case in January 2016. On the 26th of November, Russia and Abkhazia signed a military cooperation agreement. As revealed and condemned by Georgia's foreign ministry, it outlines the creation of a joint group of armed forces. The government discussed the 2016 state budget during a government meeting last week. The campaign for the 2016 budget is to focus on social needs, particularly on health care and education budgets. They'll raise pensions by 12.5% starting from January 2016. Monthly pension will be 180 lari, up from 160. The plan is also to increase teachers' salaries. Currently, teachers get between 400 to 500 lari a month. The plan is for 600 to 700 lari a month. As of April 2016, 6 months before the parliamentary election, note that most of the poll workers and heads of the polling stations are teachers and school directors. There will also be a larger budget for IDPs and for the high mountains regions through the Ministry of Regional Development, mainly to build roads. Continuing on to NATO, 2nd Georgia Military Unit, the 3rd Company of 12th Battalion Infantry Brigade, was approved to take further steps to join the NATO Response Force after completing a 3-month intensive preparation program. They will potentially join the NATO Response Force in 2018. They must now complete testing by a NATO assessment team to move ahead towards NRF qualification. About 200 workers went on strike on the 2nd of December at BP's South Caucasus gas pipeline expansion site in southern Georgia. A 56-kilometer-long pipeline and 3 surface facilities are being constructed as part of the Shah Deniz project. Work started 6 months ago. The workers' demands are to increase their working hours and salaries, which had been reduced, and to be allowed to work on weekends. Workers blocked the road and said they will block a nearby border crossing in Turkey if their demands are not met. Pianist Khatia Buniatashvili will be featured in a new Coldplay album, A Head Full of Dreams. Band invited her to play along with other famous musicians. The Georgian Football Federation says it will try to curb match fixing in the national championship by introducing a special office for sport fairness. The announcement comes after GFF President Levan Kobiashvili suddenly postponed a second-tier national championship match between Chobi Kolkheti and Liachvi on the 29th of November amid speculation that the game was rigged. GFF head Kobiashvili said the new office would have the authority to make disciplinary rulings without getting law enforcement agencies involved. Following up on previous stories, Georgia has completed building of its section of the $600 million Baku-Tbilisi-Kars Railway project. Ministry of Economy announced it will give 5,000 lari to beneficiaries of the micro and small-sized enterprise promotion program, and participants in the program will also be exempt from income taxes. The 26-month program was launched in October 2014 as part of the Produce in Georgia State program. The Georgian French governments together are financing 20 Georgian students to study French in higher education institutions for their master's degree. World AIDS Day was the 1st of December. In Georgia, the Ministry of Health announced they will offer free HIV screening programs for the next 3 months. There are mobile clinics all over the country. And in Tbilisi, there are medical vehicles in Rustaveli Square and near Station Square where people can get a free HIV test. People found to have the virus will also get free treatment. There are three new enterprise projects approved by the government with the Produce in Georgia State program. There's a mineral water factory called Healthy Water Plus that will be built in villages of Panchetti in Kazbegi District. They bought over 54,000 square meters of land for these from the state for a symbolic one lari. There will be a match factory in Kobe Municipality operated by a local company called Mark. They also bought a whole swath of land for a lari. And finally, there will be a new high-tech cattle and dairy farm in Tianeti Municipality operated by the company Zaridze Limited. Prime Minister Garabashvili announced the government is expanding the Produce in Georgia program to further encourage development in the hotel and movie industries. They didn't specify how yet that will be. As a reminder, in July, they launched the Film in Georgia initiative. In November, people from Bollywood industry visited Georgia and traveled around to explore new locations to film Bollywood films. December is harvest season for mandarins in Georgia. Agricultural Minister Otar Donelia said the government allocated 2 million lari to support the export of Georgian mandarins abroad. Also, according to the agriculture minister, Georgia and Russia have agreed on technical and methodological issues, meaning Georgian citrus fruit will be exported to Russia without any obstacles. 17-year-old boxer Nicolas Begadze won gold and was named the ultimate winner of the 2015 European Confederation Youth Boxing Championship in Poland. Two other Georgians won bronze medals in their respective weight categories. Judoka Zviad Gugachuri won gold at the International Blind Sport Federation Eastern Judo Championship 2015, held in Portugal. A championship was the first qualification opportunity for the 2016 Paralympic Games in Rio de Janeiro. 22-year-old weightlifter Lasha Talakadze finished second in the heaviest category of the World Weightlifting Championship that was held in Houston, Texas. These scores also contribute to country points to qualify for the 2016 Summer Olympics. Baritone George Gagnidze will play the lead in a contemporary staging of Verdi's Falstaff at Tokyo's New National Theater. He will be in four performances in early December. Parliamentary news. On the 27th of November, Parliament approved the government proposed amendments to the 2015 state budget. It was previously amended in July when the initial targets for tax revenues was cut by 200 million lari. Now, the latest amendments, tax revenues increased by 120 million lari, and 96 million lari was added to the health ministry budget for universal health care. Following up on previous week's stories, on the 27th, Parliament confirmed 32-year-old Irakli Shotadze as the new chief prosecutor for a non-renewable six-year term. Shotadze has served as first deputy chief prosecutor since November 2013. He's the fourth chief prosecutor since Georgian Dream Coalition came into government 3 years ago. Opposition lawmakers from UNM and Free Democrats were against Shotadze's nomination, saying that he would not provide for the depoliticization of the prosecutor's office. The vote was preceded by parliamentary hearings on the 26th and 27th of November at a joint session of the Legal Affairs and Human Rights Committees. Shotadze also met with lawmakers from the Free Democrats and then by the UNM, who repeatedly grilled him, and some UNM lawmakers were calling him BI's puppet. As a reminder, this is happening because the new law in the prosecutor's office was adopted in September, introducing new rules for selecting and electing the chief prosecutor. Previously, the chief prosecutor was appointed by the prime minister. Shotadze replaces Gheorghe Badashvili as chief prosecutor, as was mentioned earlier, who was appointed to the post in January 2014. Shotadze told lawmakers that his main priority would be turning the prosecutor's office into a much more transparent and independent body. So that's good. He also said that when the UNM was in power, it was guaranteed for the prosecution to win cases because the executive branch was exerting control over the judiciary And now there's a completely new reality which requires professionalism because the judiciary is independent. Shotadze also said that during the parliamentary hearings, that one of his priorities will be the, quote, continuation and intensification of the restoration of justice, end quote, into alleged crimes committed when the UNM was in power. And then he continued that one of the challenges facing the prosecutor's office is to dispel doubts among Georgia's Western partners that criminal investigations against former government officials are politically motivated. Uh-huh. On the 30th of November, the Georgian Dream ruling coalition submitted legislative amendments to the parliament redrawing electoral boundaries in an attempt to address a longstanding issue that there are huge disparities in the number of voters between single mandate constituencies. As a reminder, in May 2015, the Constitutional Court ruled that the existing electoral system, specifically the majoritarian component, undermines the equality of the vote because of the large discrepancy in size of single mandate districts, ranging from over 150,000 votes in the largest district to less than 6,000 voters in the smallest one. Georgia has a mixed electoral system in which 73 lawmakers are elected in 73 majoritarian single mandate constituencies, and the remaining 77 seats are allocated proportionally under the party list contest for political parties which clear a 5% threshold. The opposition parties have been pushing for scrapping the majoritarian system for the upcoming fall 2016 parliamentary elections. But the Georgia Dream is against it and has proposed to scrap it for the post-2016 elections, or to implement it, but only after these coming elections. So, the draft amendments to the electoral code that Georgian Dream now submitted seeks to fix the discrepancy in the size of the districts. Proposal is to narrow the discrepancy between districts by merging some small constituencies and splitting large ones. There will be no changes to the 13 constituencies, while the remaining 60 will be redistricted. For instance, Dushetti, Kazbegi, and Tianeti will merge into a single one-seat district with a total of roughly 42,000 voters. Tbilisi, which now consists of 10 single-mandate constituencies, the old rayons or districts, will be divided into 18 constituencies, lowering the average number of voters in each from roughly 90,000 to 50,000. According to the Venice Commission, which the Council of Europe's advisory body for legal affairs, the minimal deviation from the average size of constituencies should not exceed 10 or 15% in special circumstances. In Georgia's case, the average size of a constituency is roughly 49,000 voters. Under the proposed redistricting, most of the constituencies will fall within the margin of 10 to 15% deviation from the norm. However, there are a few constituencies under the proposed redistricting where it won't be in that within that norm. For instance, Mestia, Sfaneti, which is not being redrawn in this proposal, has roughly 8,000 voters. Why they wouldn't put it with lower Sfaneti, I'm not sure. Following up on last week's story, on the 26th of November, Parliament approved a law banning early marriage. The law passed in its first reading a day after activists protested outside the government building in Tbilisi about early marriages in Georgia and how it hinders girls' lives. According to the new law, parents will not have the right to allow minors to get married. Only a court can grant someone under 18 permission to get married. The meme this week, we don't have photos, but it's the story of how activists in Kutaisi put up placards with a photo of the city's mayor into large potholes right in the middle of the street to show the authorities how bad infrastructure is and that the authorities don't do anything to fix it. They also named potholes after the mayor as if it was a landmark in the city. The protests were staged by NGO Mediatori Kutaisi Monitoring Center. Foreign Policy has released their annual list of top 100 global thinkers of the year. Ekis Guladze is on the list as one of the challengers for instilling the Maidan spirit in Ukraine's police force. All of this and all the other stuff is in links on the website and stuff to read. The statement of NATO's foreign ministry on NATO's open door policy. Tom DeWall writes on the bad situation of Abkhazia and South Ossetia after the 2008 war and the UN mission left. They became even more dependent on Russia and isolated internationally. He says it's gotten even worse with Russia's annexation of Crimea. He says that since Abkhazia really will never want to join Georgia again. It's therefore in Tbilisi's best interest to support Abkhazia's connection with anybody other than Russia, which in some ways means supporting its sovereignty, so that it won't be completely annexed by Russia. So the choice is between annexation and closer relations with Russia, or its closer relations with Turkey and anybody else other than Georgia. In Al Jazeera, Mansour Miralalev writes that Russia, by embargoing Georgian wine for years, inadvertently led to an effort to improve Georgian wine and promote it in the West. In the lead-up to the NATO meeting, Reuters reported that NATO diplomats were split on what messages to send Georgia concerning its hopes for membership. They report that some NATO countries were even skeptical about inviting Montenegro because it would raise expectations of an invitation to Georgia, too. Al Jazeera's Listening Post has a program on media crackdowns. They include the Rustavioti drama. It starts about 13 minutes in. They talk with Justice Minister Tzoulikiani, Rustavioti head Gvaramia, Eka Gigaudi of the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia. It's worth watching just to hear the guy try to pronounce Ivanishvili. Carol Williams of the LA Times argues that Misha is not succeeding in reforming Odessa. In the recent local elections, his preferred candidate lost, and while he's tried to hear to rear in bribery, he hasn't set up an alternative financial incentive to do it. There's the new Indiegogo campaign by Georgian journalist Natalia Antalava, formerly of the BBC in India. It's called Coda, or Coda Story, focusing on the crisis after the journalists have left. It is very much worth supporting, has some really great people, and is a really cool thing. So look for the Indiegogo campaign, Coda, C-O-D-A, Story. Raihan Dmitriev, BBC, reports from one of the Ergneti Incident Prevention and Response Mechanism meetings on the border with South Ossetia. Vogue thinks that you should spend your holiday in Georgia for the food, the old city, Georgian dancers, sulfur baths, and rooms hotel. All these things to read posted in the forum. This week's GeoCapital number is 3.6. This was Georgia's annual inflation in November, according to Geostat. In October, it was 5.8%. This is the highest rate of annual inflation since August 2011. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email address is tpielpod, tblpod, at gmail.com, or post the form on our website, www.tpielpod.com. And because tpielpod.com has been callously ignoring K-pop for years, I don't want to give this away, but this is from the maker of the greatest videos ever in the history of video making. We will finish with, from just 4 days ago, this is Psy and Napal Bhaji. Punwigi salio, oma sanam salio. Let's live it up, baby. Nara nawa, na fly by. 세상이 나를 뭐라 판단해도 그냥 사는 거야 생긴 대로. 나 fly by 찌를 입고서 짝다리를 짚고서 한쪽 다리를 떨면서 건들건들거리면서. 멋지진 않지만 가끔 멋지지나. 웃긴 놈이지만 우습지 않지나. 맛이 안 가지 나 원래 막은 놈이니까. 얼굴 두껍지만 지갑도 두껍지 나. 내 신발은 광이 나지. 내 여자는 쌈박하지. 내 어깨 뽕 들어가지. 내 바지는 나팔 바지. 나팔 바지. 나팔 나팔 나팔. 그냥 느낀다니까 다르다.
맞다고 틀리다고 하지 말라 말씀이야 임마 임마 하지마 듣는 임마 기분 나빠 임마 내 신발은 광이 나지 내 여자는 쌈박하지 내 어깨 뽕 들어가지 내 바지는 나팔 바지 나팔 바지 나팔 나팔 나팔
I'm sick of that.